Get ready for Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Listen in as Doug and Aaron provide helpful tips on how to get ready. Ready or not, here comes Ready Radio.
Welcome, folks. You're listening to Ready Radio this week with Doug King. I'm here in studio, and I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about fire prevention. It's a hot and burning topic this time of year as we're kind of coming in towards wintertime, and especially down in the south here, people aren't used to using indoor heaters, and invariably we have an apartment fire that wipes out hundreds of complexes or apartments, and people's homes burn down, and hopefully without a tragic loss of life, but all too often it is. And this is something that is kind of near and dear to my heart. I've had a tragic fire in my past, and I've seen people who've been devastated by fire many times. So I really want to take this opportunity to look at fires with you and to discuss what you can do to be more prepared for fire, how you can be ready, how you can have a plan and be prepared for everything that's coming your way. And fires come in many different shapes and sizes. I mean, fire is a primordial instance of a man ascending and transcending his animalistic nature and being able to control and use simple tools and to use a chemical combustion component in order to cook his meat and to be in control of his own environment. This was the point where human beings stopped being simply inhabitants in the earth and started to forge the earth into their own image and to make it into their own environment and to change the environment for their own nature. I mean, we're talking about burning of grasslands to create plant crops, about burning down, you know, invading armies, you know, structures or conquering, and we're using fire as a cleansing tool to sweep the land clean and take possession of it. So fire is a very important aspect of human nature. And truly, one of the first things that any person really should learn to do when they start to become a preteen, when they're getting to be, you know, that certain age, they need to be exposed to fire. I think that it's important for homes to have a fireplace and for them it to be a central aspect of the home. Back, you know, only a couple hundred years ago, the fireplace was hearth and home. That's what made it a home, was having a hearth where you cooked your bread and you cooked your meals and you heated the home and you kept everything working that way. It was an important aspect, and everyone knew how to tend the fire and stoke the fire for the evening so that it would last through to morning. You know, the idea of having a campfire, of sitting around a campfire and telling ghost stories, especially, you know, when you think about Halloween and how we as a culture have embraced the idea of the warmth and flickering glow of a fireplace, that this is, you know, where we roast our marshmallows and this is part of who we are. And this is important. You know, chestnuts, at Christmas time, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. The fire is an intrinsic part of human nature. But just as we have made it a wonderful companion for us, it is a fearful master. And the problem is when fires get out of control. And we can look at dozens of examples of fires that have gotten out of control in the recent past. You know, you look at the firestorms that sweep California seemingly on a yearly basis, where a careless camper or hiker, somebody who's gotten out of control out in the wilderness, has left a fire burning, and then you have the winds, the Santa Ana winds, sweep through and turn it into a conflagration that destroys thousands or millions of acres, and people's homes, they're forced to flee their homes and leave behind everything, only to watch it all burn down. I mean, this is a tragedy of immense proportions that can easily be avoided by people being more careful. But we cannot be more careful for everybody else. All we can do is be prepared for ourselves. And here's a good aspect of preparedness, of being able to prepare for things as small as a house fire or as large as a conflagration across multiple states. And fire is one of those fundamental forces. I've been doing, you know, some of these shows lately. We did one on water. We're going to do one on fire. I think we'll do one on earth, and we'll probably do one on wind. So have the shows on the four fundamental forces of nature and how we can be better prepared in spite of them. And so here we are with fire. Fire is a changing dynamic aspect of human nature. It's something that is going to alter our perceptions. It's going to be something that we can use for great purpose or for terrible consequence. And there's not a lot of things that you can do to eliminate the risk of fire, because if you live in an apartment complex, your neighbor falling asleep with a cigarette in their mouth would be enough to burn up everything that you own. Just poof, there it's gone. And, you know, we wonder, what can we do in light of some of these risks and dangers? And there are simple steps that every person can take. There are things that we can all do to be better prepared and to be more, you know, fear-free people. And that's what being prepared is about. We talk about preparation, preparedness. We talk about emergency planning and disaster preparedness and all of these things. The reason that we discuss them, the reason that we are here, is not about trying to fear-monger or get you to go buy something or run to the store. I mean, the truth is that if you are prepared, if you have a preparedness mindset, if you are a full and free person living a Jeffersonian vision, you're not going to be afraid of this, because you have a plan, you have a contingency plan, you have preparations that will allow you to get through no matter how bad a disaster it is, whether it's your truck burning up, whether it's a home fire, whether it's a huge forest fire that's stretching for thousands of acres, whether it's something relatively minor or simple, like a death in the family, a divorce, or a loss of a job. Any of these things can be prepared for, planned for, and taken into consideration, so that if it were to happen, that you would not be lost or confused or out of your element, that you would be able to deal with it and to be a comfort for those who were less prepared. So as we look at fire today, I think that the basics is we should look at small fires. And then in our next segment, I'm going to cover a little bit about small fires, things like having a car burn down or having a house burn down, something that's limited in duration. Then I'm going to look at larger areas in the second or third segment about things like forest fires or large area fires, and how to be prepared for some of the fallout that comes from that kind of an incident or disaster, because they are very different aspects. I mean, they're two very different creatures when you're dealing with a small fire that only affects a person or a family, or maybe a couple of families, versus something that, you know, stretches for miles and miles, and the amount of smoke and dust and problems that come from that, secondary damage, you know, disruption of communications, disruption of transportation, all of that can come from a larger area fire. And then in our last segment, I wanted to take a little time to talk about what you can do to be prepared for any type of emergency, these types of fires, and of course mention our keynote sponsors, True Prep, and their True Prep product of the week. So that gives you a little overview of what I'm hoping to discuss, what we're hoping to get to today. I think it's going to be a very enlightening show as we try to really dig into what an individual and what a family can do to be prepared in light of a lot of different disasters. And fire does give us an opportunity to talk a lot of different ways that it can affect a person. And these are basic principles that are applied across, whether it's a flood, whether it's a tornado, whether it's an earthquake, or whether it's a fire. All of these things come into play in some degree to help us to realize how to be better prepared, how to be more in touch, how to be more in tune, how to just be ready. And isn't that the point of Ready Radio? To help you be ready for whatever is coming down the pike. I know that we've talked a lot about politics. We've talked a lot about, you know, individual gardening things and aspects of preparedness. These are some of the more core fundamental precepts of being prepared, being a more fully developed and fundamental person who can take care of themselves in any situation. So as we move into our next segment, I want everyone to be thinking through this commercial break about what, you know, aspects of fire prevention that they have in their homes. What have you done? Have you talked to your kids about a fire plan? If you have a fire in your home, have you set a meeting place? These are all important aspects. And think about what you have done up to this point, because as we go through the realities of a fire and how long it takes and what all happens, think about your preparations to date and how they are adequate or inadequate. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to send us an email, we check our email throughout the show as well as throughout the week, and you can email us at doug@readyradio.net or aaron@readyradio.net, or just check us out on our webpage at www.readyradio.net. Facebook and Twitter, we're available on both of those. We check our comments frequently. The Twitter feed has a lot of interesting news topics that you can listen into, see things that are related to disaster preparedness or emergency preparedness in general. So please do take advantage of those venues. Shoot us an email if you have some questions about fire you'd like us to answer on the show today, or if you're just tuning in now, we're going to be discussing what happens when there's a fire, large or small, in our next segment, and how to be better prepared. You're listening to Ready Radio on Atlanta's only News Talk 1160, the talk of the town, and we will be right back.
And now back to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking fire today on Ready Radio, and the aspects of fire are twofold. There are large fires and there are small fires, and in this segment, I want to spend the time talking about smaller fires. Now, this is a subject that is uniquely near and dear to my heart, and I have a bit of a story to tell about fire, and I think that it'll be probably humorous to most people at this point, but it was really traumatic at the time. And I've had some incidents of fire in my life. I think everybody who has, you know, owned a home or you know, had any experience in the wilderness whatsoever has built a fire. And so as we look at what you can do to be better prepared and the dangers of fire, the first one that comes to my mind, what happened to me, was, it was about a year ago now. I was driving my 1985 Suburban across country. I was taking it from Seattle back to Atlanta. I had lived in Alaska for a year. I had been a prosecutor up there. Had a great time in many ways, but it was time to come back south and start my venture here with Ready Radio and my broadcasting debut. And so I had the truck loaded full of everything I owned. It was full of top to bottom. It was heavy, and we were making our way across. I had a good friend of mine traveling with me, and we'd been driving for all day, 8 hours straight. Had left Seattle early in the morning, and we were passing Missoula, Montana, and it was late at night. And we pulled over, we had a nice dinner. I got a call from the producer here with Ready Radio, and I was on the phone with him for about an hour talking about some of the plans I had for the show and things that we were going to be doing with his job and how it was going to work. And finished up my phone call with him and hopped back in the truck, and my friend took over driving, and we were going down the interstate. And we had gotten about 30 miles away from Missoula when all of a sudden we lost power. The truck just died right in the middle of the road. And he pulled over sharply and got us to the edge of the road. And I'm like, what happened? He says, I don't know, but we're overheating bad. And so I opened my door and he opened his and got out. And he said, Doug, there's yellow flame under the truck. Get out. Get out now. And I'm like, what do you mean? He says, the truck's on fire. Get out. And I jumped out of the truck, and we started walking away from the truck. He says, we got to get away from this thing. We had just filled up the tank, too, which was a blessing, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But we had just got out of the truck, and within seconds, the cab area where we were both sitting was completely engulfed in flames. I mean, the flames were 15 feet high. A minute later, the flames had moved back into the cargo area where all of the stuff was, the mattresses, the TV, all the kids' toys, all their clothes, everything was back there, and it was in flames as high. And I was on the phone with 911 begging them to hurry. They got out there amazingly quick for being out in the country. The Clinton Fire Department came out of nowhere. They were there in about 7 or 8 minutes. But by that time, it was too late. Everything was completely engulfed. The truck was completely gone. All of the seats and everything were gone. They were just completely burnt away. There wasn't even the springs inside the seat had turned to powder and disappeared. The radiator turned to powder and disappeared. The heat and intensity of that flame was just astonishing. And inside of 20 minutes, everything I owned was gone. Poof, up in smoke. And we got a tow truck company to come out and haul the Suburban up onto the flatbed and take it to an impound lot. Everything was completely destroyed. We got a ride to the local motel. We both smelled to high heaven of soot and smoke and fire. And they put us in a non-smoking room. They asked, do either of you smoke? I'm like, no, we don't smoke. They put us in a non-smoking room. When we left the next morning, the little cleaner person kept shooting us daggers, these horrible looks. They were looking at us like we were the most disgusting people on earth because the room smelled so smoky. Neither one of us were smoking. We just smelled it from being in such proximity to the smoke pouring off of the truck the night before. So we went to the impound lot and climbed through it, and there was nothing left. There was just nothing. There was nothing to take. And so we rented a car, and we drove the rest of the way back to Georgia with nothing in tow. And it happened just that fast. It was inside of 30 seconds. The entire truck was engulfed in flame, and we were both lucky to have made it out alive. And that's God's honest truth right there. And I am so grateful that neither my friend nor I were injured in that fire, because if a door had been stuck or it had taken an extra minute to get out, we probably wouldn't have made it. And then, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about when I bought the truck. It was an older truck, and I had it checked out mechanically before we left. Everything on the truck was fine. When we left Alaska, I had a mechanic go through it thoroughly, and everything was fine with the truck. And here it was, it still had that terrible catastrophic fire. The only thing that we had that the truck had a single problem with was the driver's side rear door, which at the point we were driving back was full of stuff and it was no big deal. But the driver's side rear door would only open from the outside. The inside door knob didn't work, which wasn't a big deal. I mean, a lot of people use those kid safety locks anyway on their car rear car doors, so that if you pull on the door handle from the inside, it doesn't work. That way the kids can't jump out. We're coming up on a commercial break, folks, so give me just a minute, and I'll be right back to finish my personal fire story and talk more about large area fires. You're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town. All right, we're back, and when we left off, I was talking a little bit about this fire that I had lived through. And so the next morning, we had gone and looked, and everything inside the truck was burnt to a crisp. We ended up renting a vehicle and coming back to Atlanta without any stuff whatsoever. And it was really a traumatic experience. It happened so quickly, and the flames were so intense, there was no way you could have gone back in. And I was discussing how I'd had the vehicle thoroughly checked over. It was just a freak accident, but the rear door would not open on its own. And a lot of people do that. They have in their cars the child safety locks where you have to open the door from the outside. But that experience really jarred me, because if I had been driving around, you know, say Atlanta with the truck in the condition it was in, with this unknown fault that could happen at any time, and my children were in their car seats in the back with the doors that couldn't open from the inside, and needing the truck suddenly lost power, I pulled over, I have less than 30 seconds to get out, open the rear doors, unbuckle both children, get them out of the car before the entire area is engulfed in flames, I don't know if I could have done it. And it's a terrifying prospect, especially for people with babies, you know, who absolutely cannot unbuckle themselves. I'm fortunate. My kids are getting to the age now where they're able to unbuckle themselves from time to time, and you know, that they can kind of take care of themselves and open the doors and get out when we get to the restaurant or get to the grocery store. But if you have a small baby that's rear-facing and is tied into one of those seats, if you only have 30 seconds to grab them and get out of the car, you know, you're going to need divine providence to be able to execute that maneuver. And can you do it quickly and efficiently if there was a fire raging in front of you? I know every parent would give their life to save their children, but it doesn't do you any good to give your life if you can't get them out too. So here we are with something that needs practice and attention. You know, a home fire is very much similar. You get into a situation where your home catches on fire and you've got to get everybody out, and it takes time, and there may be smoke. And the smoke that billowed off of my truck was astonishing. I had never seen so much smoke. It was late at night and the flames were high, but the smoke was just billowing off. And if you're in an enclosed house, I mean, shoot, I've burnt chicken on the stove before and created enough smoke that practically couldn't see in the house. But if you had a real conflagration going with the house and trying to get the children out and trying to find people in the smoke, it could be really dangerous. And so this is something that we need to plan and prepare for. You have got to have a meeting place outside your home. You've got to have a place where the kids know if they wake up to a smoke alarm, if they wake up and smell smoke or don't know what's going on, that they go to a meeting place in the yard away from the building, so that everyone knows who's out of the building and who's in the building. Because if they're on one side of the building and you're on another, then how would you know not to run back in looking for them? And I know that the rule is, and this is very important, that you wait for the fire department to get there to go in and do the search, because they're the professionals and they know what they're doing. But I don't know very many parents who would sit by and watch the house burn down with their children in it and not attempt to go back in to save their own children. I mean, that's just, you want to talk about human nature, and we've talked about human nature before on this show. It is human human nature to save the life of your children and to not think about yourself in that moment. And I know that every parent I know would run into a burning building to try to save their kids. So how do you prevent a mistake that possibly costs you your life? Well, you got to have a meeting place. The kids have to know where the meeting place is, and they need to go there. And you need to practice. You need to have fire drills. Our schools have fire drills. Even our public schools, when they have difficulty even teaching math and English sometimes, they have fire drills. And here we are with our kids in our home and not have a fire drill, not know where to get to, not know what to do. And how can we do that? How can we so ill prepare our children so that they don't even know where to go during the event of a fire? And there are hundreds of fires every year, just in Georgia, much less nationwide. House fires, people who lose everything they own. But you don't have to lose your family. I mean, things are just things, people. If your house burns up and everything you own, if your car burns up and everything you own is in it, what does it matter if it's the lives of your children are safe? And that's one of the things that we're doing here. We're preaching this message of being prepared and being ready and being together and having a plan. And you've got to have a plan, and your family has to be a part of it. And this is, you want to talk about one of the, remember when Glenn was on the show a while back, Glenn Tate, and he was talking about his book and how he wrote the book because he wanted to get his wife involved, and he didn't know how to do it without sounding like a kook, and he knew that there were problems coming, and the nation is in trouble, and we need to start stockpiling some food in case there's an emergency or a bad winter or whatever's going to happen, and he doesn't know how to talk to his wife about it. Well, start talking to your loved ones about a fire plan. How crazy is it to have a fire plan? Even the schools have a fire plan. Let's plan around a fire plan, and then we'll start to build from there and have water and have food and have other things that are essentials and necessities. Start with the fire plan. Start with a place to go. Start with a rendezvous point. Start with actually practicing how to get out of your second-story building if there's a fire. I mean, these are basic common sense things that every single person can do. It doesn't take rocket science. It's not kooky or out of this world. It's not something that's going to put you on a watch list. All this is taking your family and getting them ready. And that's the fundamental tenet of this show, is getting people ready so that they can go out there and be full and free and not have to worry. And if you have a plan in place for how to deal with a fire in your home, then you are better off than 90% of the people out there, and that you are better off and know what's going to happen and know where people are going and know what's going to be done. And you can live without fear, and that's what's important, is to live without fear and to be a better, more prepared person. Folks, I know that I get on a roll here, and it seems like I'm ranting at you, but the truth is that this is just such an important, endearing topic that I want everyone to realize that this is something they can do. They can do it just this afternoon. They can sit down and say, honey, kids, I want to talk to you about, what if we had a fire here? What would you do? And as you talk to them about it, their input is going to help shape your opinion. It's going to get them involved. They're going to have ownership of it. They're going to believe in it. And these are the first steps to being prepared. These are the first steps to making sure that no matter what happens, you're ready for it. You're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now back to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron.
Welcome back, folks. When we took our last commercial break, we were talking about fires and house fires and car fires. And something that I had neglected to mention that was brought up to me on the break was that when we're talking about car fires, everybody needs to have a fire extinguisher that's accessible by the driver. That's something that can buy you more time and possibly prevent catastrophic loss. It may still total your vehicle, but it might prevent, in my case, it might well have prevented the fire reaching out. Now, I didn't have very much time, and there was an awful lot of fuel in that old carbureted engine for the fire to grow on. But I think every vehicle right next to the driver's leg should be a bolted down fire extinguisher, a ABC fire extinguisher that can take on whatever type of a fire you're encountering, electrical, chemical, or naturally fed. And this is an important preparation item. In fact, I know that Troop Rep is carrying fire extinguishers. I've seen them there. They have a couple that were up on top shelf in the back when I was last in there. And so I'm just going to, at the end of the show, make that the product of the week, is fire extinguishers and fire extinguishing product that you can pick up at Troop Rep that you can be better prepared for and keep in your car. Because these are really important aspects. And I think that this is something that is just, it cannot be stressed enough, because if you have a engine fire on a vehicle, of course, another thing that you really need to keep in mind is if you have an engine fire, don't pop the hood open. You can go in through the sidewall and spray up underneath, because when you open the hood, that pulls air up from underneath, because the hood helps suck air up as it moves and displaces the air, and the oxygen gets pulled through. And with any fire, there's three aspects, right? There's spark, there's fuel, and then there's air. And if you cut any one of those three, you don't have a fire, which is why my having filled up the Suburban right before the fire hit there was actually a really, really good thing. And it kept the fire down because the gas tank was so super full of fuel that it helped keep the temperature of the gas down. And there wasn't any air around the gas to cause it to ignite, even though it got very hot. So that kept the fire lower than if the tank had been, say, half full. There may have been enough air in the tank to allow it to ignite. So you've got these three elements, and if you can use a fire extinguisher to deny air, or if you can soak the fuel in such a way that it's displaced from the spark and that it cuts off the fire, you might be able to save something. And so it's very important to have proper fire extinguishing equipment in your vehicle. It's very important to have a fire extinguisher in your kitchen, because that's where most fires start. I remember back when I was married, My now ex-wife had a fire that happened in the kitchen, and she was trying to smack it with a dish towel. And, of course, that was only fanning the flames. And the solution was you had to put a lid over it and kill the fire that way, quickly and easily and efficiently. But, you know, the more you spread it around, the worse it got. And that's where the old adage, you know, stop, drop, and roll. Because if you stop and you drop and you roll on the ground, you're going to you're going to smother the flame, and it's not going to have the oxygen it needs. It's going to, you know, stop the flame from spreading. And these are important, important basic things. I mean, we learn all of these things as kids, and I sure hope they're still teaching them in the public schools, because as we look around at kids these days, I don't know. I mean, I see kids now that are just afraid of fire, and that's a horrible thing, because fire is a useful tool, and we as developed human beings need to be able to use fire and not be afraid of fire. We need to control fire and know how to operate all of the equipment that we buy. I mean, people go out and buy, you know, these gas burners for their homes because it's cold and they don't have a real furnace. They don't know what to do. And next thing you know, they're burning down the entire apartment complex, or even worse, that they're filling it up with carbon monoxide and they suffocate themselves and their children simply because they don't know how to use what they just bought. I mean, we need to be a people who are invested in learning and invested in education and want to take the time to learn how to use these things. If you buy something, read the manual, figure out how it works and what the dangers are, and use it properly. I mean, you wouldn't take a chainsaw and just go out there and crank it up and start whacking at things, not unless you don't want to lose a leg or worse. And yet people will use very complicated, dangerous equipment and never think about the proper safety precautions, ventilation, what they need to do, or they'll use things that are clearly meant for outdoor only use inside. And again, we get back to carbon monoxide poisoning. I mean, this is basic fundamental stuff. This is not rocket science, but people every year run into it. And you say, well, I'm not that dumb. You look at me and say, Doug, you know, I'm not that dumb. If I buy a space heater, I'm going to learn how to use it right, and I'm not going to suffocate myself, and we're not going to kill the kids, and I don't know why you're ranting about this now. Well, the truth is that I'm sure every listener of this show is smart enough to use a space heater without killing themselves. I can absolutely guarantee it. But the problem is that your next-door neighbor in that apartment complex, or the guy living next to you in the street, may not be that smart, and they may not listen to this show, and they may not take the time to learn how to use the things they bought. And next thing you know, their house is up in flames. And if you're in an apartment complex, that means your house is up in flames. And if you're living next door in one of these subdivisions where you only have a quarter-acre lot to begin with, and your neighbor house goes into an inferno and your siding's melting and your roof catches on fire, then suddenly your house is on fire too, and you're back to square one just because they're too stupid to learn how to use their equipment. Maybe it's time for a lawsuit. I don't know. But you look at the problems that we run into, and you got to figure out, well, what am I going to do? How am I going to be better prepared for this? And having a fire extinguisher, having a plan, getting the family out of the house, these are all fundamental things. These are basic things. And what good does it do you to go buy a year's supply of food if you don't have a fire extinguisher in each car? I mean, what's the odds that you're going to have such a catastrophic failure of your job or the economy or of the world that your only way you're going to survive is by having a year's supply of food, versus the likelihood that you're going to have a fire in your kitchen or a fire in your car and have put yourself or your children's lives at risk? I think that the first step you should have, well, Okay, the first thing you should buy is a decent water filter, because you drink water every single day, and the garbage that comes out of your tap is nasty, filtered, unfiltered, putrid garbage. Let's just be honest. If you go and you go down to your county water and say, I want the water report, and I want to know what's in my drinking water and at what levels, you find out not only about fluoride, which everyone's bent out of shape about, but lithium and heavy metals and all sorts of diseases, Giardia and Cryptosporidia and human fecal matters in the water. As long as it's at a certain level, it's okay. Well, you know what level is perfectly acceptable by me? 0.000. End. No nines. No nothing. End. I want it out. And then the only way you're going to get it out is by having a fantastic water filter. You get yourself a Berkey water filter. You get yourself a Katadyn water filter, and you use it every single day. Next thing you do is you go buy fire extinguishers, and you put one in the kitchen, and you put one in each car by the driver. Because if it's in the back, in the trunk, and it's covered up with stuff, you aren't going to get to it. I know people who have a gun mounted in the trunk of their car, but they don't have a fire extinguisher. What's the sense in that? Fire extinguisher is far more important, and people just don't take it seriously, and they don't consider it. And this is, you know, the common sense, fundamental, no-nonsense sort of things that we can do to be better prepared. And why aren't people doing it? Why aren't people making sure that they have a fire extinguisher in their kitchen? Can you imagine a more dangerous place for a fire to start than a kitchen? The grease, the open flames, all the stuff going on, things being knocked, you know, and it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. It doesn't only takes a second of carelessness or inattention to cause a fire that can take over your whole kitchen or cause a serious loss of property and or life. And yet, just having a simple ABC fire extinguisher right there that you can grab and go and put the fire out and not have to worry about it, you know, it's a $50 investment, and it can save you thousands. And I'm actually pretty sure that you can get a break on your homeowner's insurance if you show that you have proper fire extinguishers throughout the house. Why not? Why not do these things? This is simple, folks. And it happens every day. Every day across this country, there's a house that burns down. And it could be prevented. 100% preventable. Folks, it's an important topic to me. And I don't know how to convey to you the depth and necessity of being able to be prepared for a fire. And we can do it on the small scale. We can take care of ourselves. We can't take care of our neighbors. We can't take care of the whole world, but we can take care of ourselves and have that so that our family, if there's a fire in the kitchen, if there's a fire in the garage, if there's a fire in a car, they have a fire extinguisher. The other thing you need to do is you need to get a fire extinguisher and actually have every member of your family use it. Most people have never actually used a fire extinguisher, and you need to try it. The first time you need to use something can't be the time you actually are betting your life on it. That'd be as silly as buying a gun for self-defense, loading it, putting it in a drawer, and never having shot it. And then when you're under stress and under tension, trying to learn how to operate the thing and make sure you hit your target. It's ludicrous. Fire extinguishers are not common sense. Nobody is born knowing how to use a fire extinguisher. You got to practice with it once or twice and buy an extra one and do just that. Have every member of your family use the fire extinguisher so they are not reading the side of the bottle in the middle of the conflagration. It's simple. Folks, we're coming up on another commercial break. And after this break, I'm going to talk a little bit about forest fires, large fires, windspread fires, and I've got another anecdotal story from my own past about a forest fire and the effects that it can have. So I hope that you are getting the point of being prepared, having a plan, pulling together, working together, and putting your mind at ease in the event of some sort of a catastrophic fire, whether it's a car fire or a house fire or something bigger, as we'll discuss in the next segment. But the driving point here is that there are things we can do, there are places we can go, there are products that we can have on hand that will make our lives simpler and make our planning more effective and give us the ability to rest at ease when it comes to issues like having a home fire or a personal fire or even a larger fire than that. And so stay tuned. We will be back in a few minutes. I hear the music starting, our new theme music, which I think is just incredible as we talk about, you know, politics and the world in general. You're listening to Ready Radio only on Atlanta's News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now back to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron.
All right, folks, we're back. Last segment for the day. we've been talking about fire. We've talked about, you know, personal fires like car fires and home fires. And one of the things that we need to look at now is something a lot bigger in scope, which is, of course, forest fires. And people in California, and I know that we have listeners through the internet out there in California and the West who deal with this on a yearly basis. You have the Santa Ana winds. You've got, you know, the wildfires that burn and take thousands of acres up. And it's a terrible tragedy. And it's always preventable. And this is something that, you know, we as responsible citizens need to be doing all the time, is to take care to put out our forest, you know, our campfires, so that they don't turn into forest fires, to be aware. And every year that this happens, I sit there and watch in astonishment as, you know, people are out there spraying their roofs with their garden hoses, trying to get it so that their house will be safe, as all their possessions are there and they're fleeing in front of these fires. You know, having an evacuation plan from your home is essential. And if there's a large fire that's, you know, over many acres, that's coming towards your place, your neighbors are going to be doing the same thing. And so, you know, major roadways may be jammed and it may become more and more difficult to flee the area, but you're going to have to get out of the way of the fire. And what do you take with you? I mean, I was talking to an arson investigator once, and he told me that you can always tell when an arson is planned by what burnt up. And I was like, well, how do you figure that? I mean, doesn't everything burn up in an arson? He says, well, everything should burn up in an arson, but if there's certain things missing, that's a bigger deal. And I was like, well, like what? He says, things that you can't replace. Family photos, important documents. You'll find all of the stuff gone except for stuff with sentimental value. That's what people take when they're going to set fire to their own stuff, because they know they can't replace it. Now, I think that that's probably changed a little bit, because, you know, all of our family photos are now in the cloud, and no matter what happens. And I would encourage everybody to keep a copy of important documents on the cloud, too, so that you can access them from anywhere, so you don't have to worry about what happens to this hard drive or what happens, you know, to this photo album that's always available for you. But that aside, you know, those are the sorts of things that people grab and take with them when they're fleeing for their lives. And we look at, you know, these fires that happen, and they can come from inattention, or they come by act of God. I mean, it doesn't take much for a lightning strike in the right area to cause a forest fire. You know, Yellowstone burned many years ago, and people are like, why don't you stop the forest fire? Why don't they go in there, the park rangers, and, you know, put it out? Well, the truth is that the forest needs fires. Forest needs fires to burn away the underbrush and let new trees have a chance to grow and new vegetation for the animals. And, you know, it's a part of the life cycle of a healthy forest to have forest fires. And there's not much that can be done about that, or should be done about it. This is a way that, dare I say, God has ordained the world to work, that these fires wipe through and cleanse the land and allow things to regenerate. When I was a district attorney up in Dillingham, Alaska, we had a forest fire up there, and it swept through and destroyed over 1,000 acres of prime huckleberry bushes. And one of the things that people in that area did for subsistence in order to survive through the winter was to go out and pick berries every fall. And they put the berries up, and this was an essential part of their winter diet, that they would do this every year. In a lot of ways, I admire the people up there and their subsistence lifestyle a lot more than ours and our consumerists down in the lower 48. But, you know, we look at this, and here there was a fire, and everyone was up in arms. In fact, there was a question of whether we were going to charge the person who started the fire with a felony for destroying all of these acres. And I came down really hard in favor of the poor gentleman who started the fire, because it was unforeseeable. It was a complete accident. The guy was flying an RC airplane over a field. I mean, how could you foresee, by flying your you know, remote control airplane in the middle of an empty field, that anything bad would happen? He was trying to do exactly what he should have done to keep anything bad from happening, and that was flying in an open field. And the thing crashed, and the lithium battery in it caused a spark, and the dry grass went up, and next thing you know, there's 1,000 acres of prime huckleberry field destroyed. Well, you know, bad things happen. And it wasn't his fault, but it sure had an impact on everybody. And so as we're looking at these big fires, there isn't anything we can do to prevent a big fire, but it comes back down to the same tenets and principles. Having a plan, having an evacuation plan, having a place to go, being able to get important documents out of the house quickly, being able to safeguard your family. These are key and fundamental tenets that you take with you, and so that when a disaster happens, that you're able to protect yourself. And whether it's a disaster in California of a forest fire or Dillingham of a forest fire coming towards your home, whether it's an oncoming hurricane, whether it's flooding, whether it's rioting and looting, none of it matters except in degree, because the same tenets of how to evacuate your home, to be safely and have evacuation routes that don't take major thoroughfares, to be able to get everything together quickly, to know where your essential documents are, to know where your sentimental items like wedding photos and your kid's first tooth and all of that, having it together so that it's easy to take and move and get out to the car and go on. Always having cash on hand. I mean, in the event of a huge emergency, the ATM network may be down, and having just a couple of $100 of cash on hand at any given time, so that if there was an emergency, you would have the ability to buy gasoline or to buy food and keep moving. Having a few things of non-sentimental value that have value intrinsically. You know, a Rolex watch used to be the gold standard of something that you could trade. Well, now, you know, maybe it's having some silver coins, or maybe it's having something else that it has intrinsic value that you can trade with in the event that people are not accepting federal money because of the nature of the disaster. These are basic things that you can do to be better prepared, to be ready for having to evacuate your home. And, you know, looking at True Prep, you know, they do a wonderful, fantastic job. And we really appreciate their sponsorship here. The True Prep product of the week this week is definitely going to be the fire extinguishers. It's a great way to keep your home and your car safe. I know that was one of the products that they brought in during their venture with Protective Structures. We had on the show a few months ago. Really a great idea for everyone to keep in their home, in their car, and just have on hand for whatever kind of emergency may pop up. You know, our purpose here, folks, the reason that we're on the air and we're trying to get the word out and trying to get people motivated to be prepared is to do more than just make sure that somebody, you know, has a fire extinguisher in their car. I mean, the fire department does that. Everybody is out there talking about fire prevention. When you get into, you know, this time of year, there's always, you know, people involved in trying to get you aware of what's going on in the world. The truth is that we're a lot broader than any one topic. We're hoping that people will start to see this as a normal, sustainable, realistic lifestyle. That just the idea of not living in fear, but being ready, being prepared, having a Boy Scouts mentality. My son's in scouting now, and trying to get that always be prepared mentality out there. I think that it's a fantastic opportunity. And I really appreciate all of our listeners who are engaged and who send us emails. I mean, we've got a great website. I know that a lot of you have been commenting on the changes to the website and how it's taken on a new form. We love to get emails. You can email me at doug@readyradio.net. If you have any questions about the show or a topic you'd like to discuss, you can reach out to me during my day-to-day life. I'm doug@kingslawoffice.com. That's KingsLawOffice, kingslawoffice.com is where I do my day-to-day grind. I try to protect the rights of every individual person against government intrusion. We have a great special running right now with trusts and will planning, as well as criminal defense work. So there's multiple ways to reach out to me if you have a question, concern, comment, anything that, you know, is troubling you in your world. Or if you just would like to have a question, we will randomly be sampling questions that we put on the air. We can put your question on the air, you know, just as a discussion between myself and the co-host, or we can actually bring you on the air if that's something that you would enjoy doing. We're going to start trying to take some call-in aspect to the show and expand the show's premise a little bit. So there's been a lot of outreach. A lot of people are very excited about what's going on here. We're very excited about it. We just want people to take a little more Jeffersonian look at life and be connected to their land, connected to themselves, connected to their government, to take an active participation in everything that's going on, and to really be more full, more complete, more engaged, more active people. And that's the point of Ready Radio, is to be ready to not be afraid, but to be active and involved and to be doing, for people to know that they are ready to go do something and to do something great, to change the world in their own little ways. I know when I was in college, I was interning for a congressman, and when I was interviewing with them, they had spent the whole day interviewing people, and every single person told them, I want to change the world. And when I went in there, they said, so why are you here? I said, well, you know, I'm sure you've heard everybody say they want to change the world. I'm here because I want to open mail. And I got a whole chorus of laughs and the job because I knew what reality was. Well, you know what? Reality doesn't have to be living in a cubicle. Reality does not have to be a one-track job and a boring little apartment filled with IKEA furniture. Reality can be more than that. We can be involved. We can be in active participants in the shaping of this nation, in the shaping of our children, in the shaping of this world in such a way that people reaffirm the ideas of independent thought and independence, that they are free people, that they are doing more and being more and seeing more, that they are involved and engaged in their community and in the political process. And that's what I'm trying to reach out to you for. Here's a wonderful example of fire and a way that you can be better prepared, that you can have certain things on hand, that you know what's coming, that you know how fast it is, and that you can get your family involved. And from this humble beginning, I think that this can turn into another kind of fire that sweeps the world. And like our theme music, we didn't start the fire, but we can take and make sure that we control it, that we are an active and involved citizenry. Folks, you're listening to Ready Radio. We're here every week on our flagship station, News Talk 1160, The Talk of the Town. Check us out at www.readyradio.net, where you can listen to old broadcasts at any time, day or night, or find us on iTunes. We'll be back next week, same station, same time. I hope you have a great weekend, and I will see you then.
You've been listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by True Prep. For all your prepping needs, visit True Prep online at truprep.com or visit a True Prep store in Roswell or Marietta. Tune in each week as Doug and Aaron get you ready for anything that comes your way. Ready Radio, Saturday mornings at 8, only on News Talk 1160, The Talk of the Town.